For the majority of us, an epic voyage to a far-off mountaintop on the other side of the world might be a bit of a romantic notion. But for Eric Knaus, the creator of mindfulness exercises, it's a profound and enlightening way of daily life. Today we are touching down near the rim of a caldera in Guatemala. Drinking in this fantastic vista, we are speaking with Eric at Lake Atitlan about his experiences in self-discovery, global consciousness, and the potentials of a coherent frequency between the heart and brain. Eric is an instructor in mindfulness, vocal toning therapy, and mind-heart regulation, affiliated with the prominent HeartMath Institute. Today he shares his thoughts on personal experiences with the heart-mind connection and gives us an insight into how this information might be utilized on a global scale.
It's a spiritual destination for people from all over the world, and I came here to start a company to teach mindfulness online. Lake Atitlan is beautiful. This is a part of the ancient Mayan culture here.
What is your perception of the area, Mayan civilization, the feeling of the vibration?
We're sitting on top of a caldera. It's an ancient volcanic that collapsed 450 million years ago. So a mile beneath us is hot magma down beneath the lake. And then we're surrounded by the volcanoes above us, 10,000 feet above the lake. So it's just beautiful. It's an enchanting, high jungle environment. People from all over the world come here. I have to be honest, I don't know about what energy feels like. I like being here. Some people are much more sensitive. They talk about the energy and all that, and I go, okay, I get that. But I just like being here. I've been here coming back and forth and in Boulder for 5 years. It's the same altitude in the atmosphere as Boulder. So I'm a mile high. This is high jungle, and that's high desert.
And you have the best of both worlds because you're taking in different ends of the spectrum.
Exactly. The lake is 1,200 feet deep at the deepest point. It's big enough you can see the curvature of the earth. So it's a big lake.
Speaking of vibration, you are the founder, owner of Mindfulness Exercises.
Mindfulness Exercises I created back in 2011. I had my awakening experience between 2008 and 2011. I started teaching in Boulder, the community. Then I DBA'd as Mindful Science in 2015.
You mentioned an awakening experience. How would you describe that?
It was accidental. What I experienced and what I was going through is later, other people gave me the words to describe what it was I was experiencing, but I didn't know at the time that I was experiencing anything. It just happened kind of day to day, incrementally. The circumstances around the awakening was such that I built a home, and I built a log cabin just outside of Boulder, about 8,000 feet, perfect altitude for meditation. I just had it built, and it was just only a year old, and it burned down from a wildfire. So I built it again. So I spent the first 5 years building my home twice. I was exhausted. I was tired. I sat in my kitchen chair. I put my hands on my lap. I breathed in. And it felt so good the next day I did it again. I sat down and I did it again. A few months later, I was sitting in that kitchen chair for 2 hours with my eyes closed going inside. And that began the transformation, the early part of the process.
You sort of had the catalyst and then after a period of time grew into your awakening.
I think that's accurate. Yeah, that's a way of saying it. What I would say now, I didn't know back then. Back now, and understand that what happened was my physical body was exhausted from cutting down large trees, adrenaline in my body, cortisol. I was amped up with stress hormone. And I came inside and I sat down, and the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems worked together. So it was highly sympathetic, highly stressed physically, and probably emotionally as well, because I pushed my nervous system so far to the stress point. I think what happened was it simply said, oh, you're sitting down quietly and breathing, sitting still, clear signal, breathing gently, clear signal. Then my nervous system started releasing endorphin. And that's how the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system find balance. The sympathetic stands down, so to speak, and then the parasympathetic gets that energy that's no longer allocated to the fight and flight stress response. It moves over into the parasympathetic, which is the renewal and restore phase of your body. So I went into that endorphin inside morphine state, and the dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, all those chemicals, there's about 20 or so, were released. And that's why I stayed sitting in a chair. It felt good. So I had a full body wash of these endorphins, and I didn't know I was doing it. It was just a natural process.
I suppose any sort of transition that would occur on an emotional, mental, psychological level, you'd have to prepare the body to allow your brain and emotional, energetic state to be at prime operating frequency for that sort of transferal.
Yeah, to find the balance, I surrendered to it and allowed it to happen just because it felt good, not because I was following a spiritual teacher. There was no guru. I'd never read any books. I didn't know what was happening, and it was okay with it because I had no context for it. I was in that prime state of renewal.
From what I've read, anyone who has experienced any sort of spiritual awakening is most of the time not looking for it. It does sort of seem to be an accident. They sort of stumble upon it and then find that they've had this transformational experience.
That is exactly what I would say happened to me, yeah.
So how would you say your life has changed after experiencing that?
Wow. Well, first of all, the hormones in the body are shifting, and the messaging signals throughout all the organs, the brain, the heart, the entire body are shifting around and reorganizing. My sleep cycle changed. My eating habits changed. My smell, my taste in my body changed. Total hormonal shift changed the way I perceived reality, because the emotional state of the body is the lens in which we see our own reality through. So I saw things differently. I saw people that I knew differently. I experienced them differently. Not that they were different, but that I was. So the filter of my personal reality was dramatically changed. I just said, wow. And that's when I started asking people in Boulder, friends of mine, doctors, psychologists, yogis, Buddhist monks, what's going on? And they started giving me the context, the words for it, you know, the languaging for it.
When you have this newfound bit of information, it's always nice to have some sort of terminology to go along with it, even to be able to communicate your experience to others.
Exactly, exactly. But I caution myself not to read too many books or try to populate my mind with preconceived ideas of what I was experiencing. But I was guided to read neuroscience, Bruce Lipton's work, Dr. Candace Pert, Molecules of Emotion. She was a candidate for the Nobel Prize for discovering the opiate receptors. So I started reading the science and understanding what was happening to my body from a pure scientific point of view.
I would say that anytime we want to preserve our sense of authenticity of our experiences, it's better, I think, not to clutter it up with a lot of external opinions, because then it takes away from our experience.
Exactly. And there's a period of time when it's okay. Like maybe it was like 4 years after that, I started dabbling with other things a little bit, but mostly I stuck with the hard science, brain waves, ECG. That's where I met HeartMath and their technology.
Can you explain what HeartMath is?
HeartMath is a company that's been around now 30 years. And they've been doing research in the connections and the dynamics between the heart and the brain. You know, like what's really going on here? They focus on understanding how the heart being a resonant system itself and the brain being a resonant system, how together when they come into synchrony, which is a term they call heart-brain coherence, when the heart and the brain are in synchrony, information starts flowing at a faster rate or higher rate. The bandwidth between the heart and the brain open up. There's more information flowing. And then all the systems in the body benefit from that. The lungs, the liver, I mean, all body systems then become part of that conversation. For me, they're the expert that produced this information in a way I can consume it and enjoy the benefit of understanding their research. Their philosophy is that everybody can self-regulate their autonomic nervous system with a little practice every day. It's not that complicated. 5 minutes a day for 14 to 21 days, you can change the baseline of your autonomic nervous system. That upgrades your entire body, your entire system permanently. When you upgrade your autonomic nervous system, you're changing your hormonal state, which is back to what I experienced in my cabin. You start experiencing the world through different emotional lens, and therefore you become different. You are a different expression of who you are because you perceive the reality from the different lens. I was first introduced to them by a gentleman in Boulder, Colorado, that as a young engineer was standing in the Redwoods with Doc Childre and Roland McCready back when they first formed HeartMath. And he was the engineer contracted to develop the original software, and he lives in Boulder today. And he told me about this technology. I acquired the technology and I started using it.
It would seem our society is experiencing what looks like a clot between the mind and the heart, and people will experience something in their lives that removes the blockage. And then as soon as this blockage is removed, the energy is less encumbered, and this actually improves our quality of life on every level.
Well well said. It couldn't be said any simpler. That's it. We're dysregulated, and we bring regulation into the process. We can live a fuller life, feeling more emotions, experiencing life more fully. The lens that we see the world through is more open and expanded, is more creative.
And that has a physiological, psychological, spiritual impact on not only ourselves, but I would imagine the people around us as well.
Yes, the research HeartMath has done has not only been around an individual and their individual heart and brain, but they've studied people in groups within 3 meters. That's like, yeah, we influence each other emotionally, biochemically, and perceptually through what we call mirror neurons. And those mirror neurons are empathy and compassion for each other, but those are reflected in our bodies through hormones, and also the electromagnetic state in the body is influenced by the balance of these hormones. So they're all feedback mechanisms, and as HeartMath technology is biofeedback to help you regulate these systems so you can experience a fuller life.
And did you say a distance of 9 feet in order to affect another person?
Yeah, they say 3 meters physical distance. So if you and I sat within 9 feet of each other or at a table and we were talking to each other over a period of minutes, your heart would start regulating with my heart. Now, that's, of course, if we were both safe, we feel safe with one another. And that's the state of coherence. So when we invoke a state of coherence, we're going to optimize that bandwidth throughput, the communication between us. And so we can communicate with each other nonverbally through emotional states. And then, of course, that affects the electromagnetic field. So that also adds to the communication. So we go into a state of mind-body coherence with each other.
It would seem that the key here is a level of comfort or security with the person that you're in such close proximity with.
Absolutely. And that's where the sympathetic, parasympathetic states come in. If you're in fear, you're in protection. The hormones in your body are the lens in which you see reality. So you will have a filter that you see somebody sitting across from you. If you're in fear, you're going to see through that fear filter. And that colors, if you will, it filters the way you perceive reality. So when two people sit down, if they're both in an expanded state or coherent state, then the information exchange is bigger, better, brighter, happier, more excited, more creative. And you feed back to each other that information and you have this common joint experience.
I read an article about someone who was conducting an experiment with coworkers. They concentrated on producing the most optimistic, loving vibration that they could produce. And then studies were taken so that they could see the impact this person had on their coworkers. And the ones who had more of an intimate friendship with this coworker were shown to benefit almost instantly. Whereas the ones who were maybe not as close, they actually received a little bit of the positive energy, but not nearly as much as the ones who were closer.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if HeartMath wasn't behind that study or involved in it in some way. They've done many of these over the years.
Most people who are listening probably are not overly familiar with the terminology or the concepts of the heart and mind resonance. You explained heart as being a resonance system, and the brain is also a resonance system. So they're obviously both operating independently of each other. But what happens when there is a synchronicity between the two systems is you end up with a coherence. How can we encourage a coherence between our heart and mind?
We can encourage coherence by creating the conditions that invoke coherence. So we sit down every day and for 5 minutes. The research says 5 minutes is sufficient. We breathe in 5 seconds in, we exhale 5 seconds. And we do that for 5 minutes with an empty mind. And that's enough of a clear signal, sitting quietly, breathing that way. 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. It's a clear signal to the autonomic nervous system that you're safe. And when it gets the message, simply by sitting still and breathing in this way, then it starts moving the hormones. It starts absorbing stress hormone and reallocating those hormones and that energy to your rest and repair or rest restore side of your body, which includes your immune system. It's not complicated. 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out for 5 minutes a day is enough to permanently influence the nervous system in a positive way.
A level of comfort in our environment and a level of ease in our mental state in conjunction with breath, these seem to be the trifecta of creating this coherence.
That's exactly right. And one of the things I did 18 months ago, I was sitting here. I've been using the M-Wave for 7 years now. And I accidentally came across this an experience where I was sitting with my M-Wave on, and I started making a tone, just a, like a fa sound, like ah. And I was watching my baseline on my feedback on my screen, and my coherence scores increased by 2 full points. This never happened before.
Ancient knowledge dictates that we can heal ourselves with sound, so it's a very reasonable observation.
I was so excited about it, I decided to do an experiment. So I sat down every morning for 20 minutes for 5 weeks, and I toned. I made vowel sounds. I don't know if I was in pitch or not. It doesn't matter. It's a vibration, because I'm not performing for myself or anyone. So I just made sounds. And I consistently produced higher coherence scores, and my overall baseline moved up. My average coherence score was about a 4. It moved up to a 6. And today I typically hitting 6 and 7s and 8s. So I've increased my coherence scores a full, almost 3.5 points in the last 18 months simply by toning.
And what is this device that you're using to measure your increments?
HeartMath has several devices, but the one that I'm using now is a mobile phone device. It's called the Inner Balance, because you're looking for the balance between the heart and the brain and the body systems. You clip it on your ear, and you clip it on your shirt or your collar, and it has a Bluetooth communication to your computer, or your cell phone in this case. It gives you feedback. You can actually see a thought affect the waveform on the screen. It's that sensitive. It tells you when you're in coherence, when your heart and your brain are moving into coherence. So you move from red, out of coherence, into blue, medium coherence, into green, high coherence. And you keep practicing till you get pretty good at just dropping in. And you know what that feeling state is. You can feel it. And that means that your heart and brain is in balance. And then the energy starts moving in your system from stress to expansion to restore. And you can invoke that. I get pretty good at it now. I can invoke coherence in 5 minutes and go to my highest coherence state session. So I just drop right in.
So this is sort of a skill that you've learned. You get familiar enough with yourself and the way it feels to be at a higher coherence, and then you can stimulate it at will at that point.
Yeah, it's a feeling state. It's a pattern that you develop in your nervous system that it starts remembering, and then it starts feeding back to you. My nervous system now knows when I sit down and I sit upright, I put my hands on my lap, and I breathe in gently, it immediately goes click. We create a feedback loop, and we drop right in.
I don't know if we've touched on this exactly, but brain entrainment. Can you give me a definition for what brain entrainment is?
Yeah, the brain has two halves, left and right side. And entrainment, in some ways, has to do with whether or not they're in balance with each other. So entrainment has to do with brainwave states. Entrainment, from a pure scientific point of view, has to do with whether or not the brain is in balance, the left and right laterals are in balance, and they're in synchrony, then it operates more efficiently. Brainwave entrainment, in that way, has to do with the brain itself. You and I, or a mother and a baby, can go into brainwave entrainment between two people, like hurt the mother and the baby. The brain waves go into entrainment when the baby is in the mother's arms and they're looking into each other's eyes. So the heart and the brain together go into entrainment. You've got a coherent heart and a coherent brain, and you got the brain entraining with the child's brain as well. That's another way of talking about entrainment.
Okay, so you can have entrainment within yourself between the corpus callosum there on the left and right hemispheres of the brain, but then we can have an external entrainment where we are connecting with another person.
Exactly. Or persons. You can have entrainment with a larger group as well, yeah.
This reminds me of doing Reiki. What happens in that circumstance is, as you're relaying or transmitting energy, your brain goes into an alpha state, but interestingly, as does the person who is receiving this healing energy as well.
Absolutely, and you're certainly within 3 meters of each other, so there would absolutely be a synchrony or a balance between you and that other person seeking to exchange that energy.
And you had mentioned toning exercises. Are you strictly speaking of verbal toning?
I am. I was toning here by myself. I was getting higher coherence scores. I was really curious about it. I called HeartMath. What do you think about that? And he said to me, what would you like to do? And I said, well, I've got 4 or 5 people here in the village who have inner balances. I'd like to do some experiments, but I'm not a scientist. I need some guidance on how to set this up. Designated the research coordinator to be our project manager, so to speak, and they gave us the dedicated support person. So I gathered 25 people, showed up with inner balances, and we started an experiment where people sat and started making vowel sounds, just like, ah, just like that, nothing complicated. And lo and behold, after 10 weeks in that particular first experiment, we call it toning experiment number one, we demonstrated that most people, most of the time when they tone, produce higher coherence scores than when they're sitting quietly, breathing in 5 seconds and exhaling 5 seconds.
And of course, people who are professional singers or people who vocalize in whatever form on a regular basis are automatically incorporating breathing exercises and they're automatically emitting tones.
Well, it's interesting. I actually have a professionally trained opera singer and have a pop singer in one of the groups. And what I learned was is that people who have trained as an opera singer does not necessarily involve coherence. That person had to learn from the machine what the inner balance software wanted from them in order to go into coherence. She's now incorporated her professional breathing practices with the toning. And now she's produces some of the highest coherence scores of anybody I've worked with in the last year. At first, she wasn't capable of producing coherence because she tried to bring about the training she received for as a professional opera singer. And that's not what produces coherence. When we tone, we're literally making raw, basic, fundamental tone. A, E, I, O, U, as in long vowel sounds or short vowel sounds. And it doesn't matter what language, whether it's Spanish or German or French, because we're not producing a pitch. We're making a vibration in our chest, and we're focusing energy with our mind in the chest, and that produces the higher coherence scores.
Okay, so it's actually a combination of emitting the sound and the intention that's behind it.
Yes, and the pressure wave that you create in your body. So like down here in San Marcos at the lake, there's a kirtan. There could be 30 people in a kirtan group. If I hook them all up to the inner balance, I would say that 90% of them or more, 95%, were not in coherence. They're having a great time. It's a beautiful sound. They're vocalizing, they're doing the kirtan, they're doing the chants, but that doesn't mean they're in heart-brain coherence. In the scientific term, in the way of heart math, it's a very specific balance in the nervous system, which includes blood pressure, breath pressure wave in the diaphragm, the breathing pattern over time. So when we use the word coherence in the heart math sense, it's very, very specific in that sense. I have experimented with different audio sounds where I just absolutely love listening to, there's a group called Anima. I like Anima, it's beautiful. It's angelic, and I like it. But I could sit there and listen to it, which is what I call being done to. I can hear it, I can feel it, and I can drop into it, but I'm not in coherence. It's interesting, because the coherence is a choice. You have to choose to invoke coherence. It doesn't happen because you're listening to good music. You have to breathe a particular way. You have to create the pressure wave in your lungs and your belly when you breathe in and when you exhale. Very, very specific for your body.
You're referring almost to what I would say is an energetic signature. And when it's specific to a person, that is their specific energetic sequence. It's not going to be right. The same for anybody else. When I do Reiki, I can feel someone's energetic signature. So I can feel that this person is different from another person because I know how to see their signature, I guess. It's sort of an abstract way of saying it, but it's almost like you know somebody's voice, you know their energy, that kind of thing. So everybody is going to have a specific way of toning. They're going to have a specific way of receiving and interacting in a coherent manner.
Yeah, again, languaging is tricky. So what I would do is I would hook somebody up with the receiver and I'd hook up Ricky, facilitator. It'd be interesting to watch a facilitator and the receiver go in, see what happens, just watch, without anybody trying to do anything in particular. These are just getting into the space of the experiments I'd like to conduct, with toning, without toning, with a Reiki person, and without a Reiki, all that. There's all kinds of combinations. The objective is to find ways that's kind of fun and interesting for people to practice to go into coherence.
I think that sounds really interesting. Those experiments would be extremely valuable.
I now have over 57 people who participated in one or more 28-day toning experiments. We gather 25 people every month for 28 days, and we all tone every day using the inner balance. We can tell when the coherence scores are higher or lower, and that can be influenced by sunspots, ionization after a thunderstorm. There's all kinds of influences. That's why I say there's no bad days. It's just up and down. But generally over time, those coherence scores start trending upward. They get higher and higher. That just means that you're becoming more skillful at organizing the energy in your body and to get out of the way. You're just, when you organize your thoughts inside of a body in coherence, energy moves and the system tends to go into the balance. So they're getting better at self-regulating and getting out of the way. So I give them encouragement, and I coach them, and I support them. The barrier to entry is initiative, right? Just sit down, and we're using, you can use Zoom or any of these other platforms, doesn't matter. We meet once a week, and we talk, and we laugh, and we tone a little bit, and we talk about our experiences, and we support each other, because what's happening is we're dysregulating the regulation of a conditioned nervous system, which is habituated over time. So people start having experiences like, well, I started crying, you know, like, we're not doing psychotherapy, but we just simply say, that's normal, don't worry about it. Well, somebody might say, I wasn't sad, but especially for men, right? Emotions for the men, we've been trained not to feel emotion, but tear ducts will release water without crying. They just pour water out if you're in a deep state of surrender, because that's how stress is relieved in the body. Just tear duct will tear. Some people have a tension in their chest. They feel nauseous. I was toning and suddenly felt really nauseous. It only lasted for a little while. Nausea is an expression of stress in the body, and just allow that, right? They just said, well, I just went back and focused on my toning, on my breath. I said, perfect. That's what you do. Go right back to your breath, because your nervous system is moving energy. You may feel nauseous for a minute, and then it passes, and that's okay. So we support each other in the process of dysregulating the regulated, habituated, conditioned nervous system long enough to insert, right, an opportunity for it to move energy. And so we support each other on these weekly calls.
I know you say you're not psychotherapists, and you're not, but it sounds as though you're achieving a similar benefit to someone who maybe has been working with psychotherapy for a number of years. I know from doing a lot of energy work, from Qigong to yoga to all of that, I'll have very strange emotional reactions that are completely unprompted to my conscious mind. But obviously, I'm moving energy around or releasing some form of toxin, and that's allowing this release. So I would say that these group sessions that you're having are actually extremely beneficial on every level.
That's the feedback I've received, and we're excited about that, because the most important thing is always be safe, right? If you have an emotion that comes up that you haven't felt ever before, you go, what's that? Or in this kind of an interesting mood, allow that to be and recognize that it's just energy moving. And yeah, know that there's nothing to be fearful of love, and this, so that the nervous system doesn't shut down and protect itself, that you actually allow that energy to move. And now you're participating in your own evolution again. You're a participant in your own health, really, allowing your body to move energy that supports you.
That's a good point that you make, to surrender to the experience. If you're having an emotion, to allow yourself to feel it, and that also allows you to release it. Because I think what happens is we judge that an emotion is not favorable, and so we suppress it, or we don't allow it to move where it needs to go.
Exactly. I've been teaching for 12 years, and one of the things I teach in my online course is that I teach people, this is observe and notice. So whatever comes up, whether it's an image, just a conversation or body sensation that comes up, your eyes are closed, you're breathing gently, and you see this image, conversation, or body sensation, you observe that, you observe it, then you notice that you're observing it. And then the moment you notice you're observing that image, conversation, or body sensation, you let go and return your awareness to your breath, to your exhaling breath. That releases you from the fire hose of those 70,000 thoughts that hit you every day as part of your condition. So it frees yourself. It's like the key to get out of prison. You get out of the flow of the old energy patterns by just going back to breath. And that's the same with toning. Whatever comes up in your internal state, just focus, go back into the toning experience. When you're making that ah sound, or you're moving from ah to e, like ah, e, I, o. When you're moving through each of those tones, you have to be present to choose. And in that state of choosing, you're not in the past or the future, you're fully present. And that reinforces the feeling state in your within your body in that coherent state, which becomes part of the imprint that you're laying down for your future self.
In our next episode, delving into heart-mind coherence, Eric discusses the concept of recapitulization, framing our thoughts and emotions, how our thoughts affect our central nervous system, and how the nervous system reacts to the stored thoughts of our past. Selfing in the process of creating a new future for yourself, which is a bit like the scientific approach to manifestation. How to redirect our thoughts and our thought energy so we are no longer feeding our old outdated internal programming. And the ways in which the mere act of thinking can disrupt the coherent frequency state within our bodies. All this in part two of our look at elevated frequencies of the heart and mind. You're listening to Nature, Therapy, and Beyond with Catherine Skynot. Appreciation to my guest, Eric Knaus of Mindfulness Exercises. Gratitude to Blue Dot Sessions, www.sessions.blue, for our instrumentals. And to you, thank you for listening.